generations and getting people to know you and being prepared for eternity. Lord, give us insight today as we look at your word and see what you're saying to us through it, and then be able to apply it to our lives. Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For it's your name I pray. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at the first book of Samuel, Samuel chapter 1, to see some neat things that God did in a lady's life named Hannah. Hannah's name means grace or favor. God showed his grace to her, and he shows his grace to us too, doesn't he? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'll read verses 1 through 20. That's more than I usually read, but I think we can make it through that together. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Verse 9, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." 1 Samuel begins with a cry of a godly woman. Imagine this, the whole nation was crying out for a king, and Hannah was crying out for a child. And God is going to use that child on which to physically build his kingdom. In the passage I just read, names are very important in the Hebrew text. The word for God, Lord, it might be capitalized in the in your text there, is Yahweh. And Hannah always used that name in chapter 1 and chapter 2 in referring to the God of Israel, Yahweh. That is the covenant God, the sovereign God, the one who is over all. Hannah, as I said, means grace or favor. Peniah means pearl. Apparently she was a pearl. Hophni and Phinehas are Egyptian names. Hophni means tadpole. And Phinehas means dark person. Samuel means heard of or asked of God. And so she named him after what she did. She asked of God for this little boy, and he gave him to her so she could turn around and give him back to the Lord. What an amazing lady. Now, Hannah is kind of an obscure person in the Bible. She and her husband were from the mountains, from the hills, 30 miles north of Jerusalem. This is a remote part of Israel. She wasn't a sought-after Old Testament leader or a judge like Deborah. She didn't catch the fancy of a king somehow or rise up and save the nation like Esther. She doesn't have a book named after her like Ruth does, but she was a faith-filled woman. And maybe today we could take a glance at her life and we can discover some things about her faith that can strengthen our faith today as well. And looking at this text, chapter 1 and parts of chapter 2, I found three ways Hannah's faith can strengthen our faith today. Three ways Hannah's faith can strengthen our faith today. First thing I noticed about Hannah was that she was a lady who prayed. Hannah poured out her request to the Lord. See that in verses 10 through 11. It's written there, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be reused on his head." Hannah was married to a guy who in some ways was a godly man, in some ways. A year after year, he was very faithful in going up to worship the Lord at Shiloh. I said that he was a godly man. I didn't say he was a perfect man. Elkanah was a Levite who was living in Ephraim. And as many people in his day were, Elkanah was compromised in his relationship with God. He had two wives. And because of that, there was trouble in his family. Apparently, his wife Hannah was barren, and God had closed her womb. So God was involved in this whole story. You know, even the part about her not being able to have a baby when they wanted to have a baby. And somehow, Elkanah did not wait, did not trust God to work this out. So he took a second wife, and her name was Peninnah, the pearl. Now, that was not God's plan from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, It says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife," singular, "wife, and they will be one flesh." Not two wives, Elkanah, but wife, one wife. And so God was not blessing their family. And, you know, probably throughout the year they lived in separate tents, except when they went up to the temple. And every year they would travel together, not to the temple, but to the tabernacle in Shiloh. And Hannah's rival would provoke her, would irritate her. Can you imagine the things that she might have said to her? Oh, she knew right the exact button to push, didn't she? And she knew how to get to Hannah. And so they weren't on speaking terms. It was miserable for Hannah. But notice how she prayed to the Lord in verses 10 through 11. She prayed out of sorrow and suffering, according to verse 10, out of deep disappointment, out of anguish, out of a bitterness of soul. She laid her soul open to the Lord. That's the way we want, a lot of those things are the way we want to pray all the time, isn't it? Sincerely praying to the Lord with an open heart, an open mind, talking with God. Conversation, having conversation, asking God about things, but also confessing things and really doing business with God. And that's what she was doing. She was doing business with God. She also prayed with submission, according to verse 11. See how she refers to herself? She says, "Upon your servant's misery, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son." So she prayed from submission. She called herself, maybe your translation says, hand servant, maid servant. The same thing that Mary in Luke chapter 1 calls herself. And she calls herself that not once, but five times. She made it clear that she was humble before God. It's, humility is important when we pray, isn't it? You know, Jesus had a couple conversations with people who were not very humble when they prayed in the New Testament as well. Hannah also prayed through sacrifice, according to verse 11. She made a promise to God. She vowed to give her son to God. She made a Nazarite vow. That's described in Luke, in Numbers chapter 6, verse 18. And actually, three guys in the Bible who had this Nazarite vow their whole lives. And that was Samson in the book of Judges. Here we have Samuel in 1 Samuel. And we have John the Baptist. Usually, if you served as a Levite, you would only serve to age 50. So it wasn't your entire life. And if you were a Nazarene, a Nazarite, then it wasn't for your entire life. It was for a short period of time. But here she goes overboard, more so than that, and dedicates his whole life to the Lord for as long as he lived. You know, every woman in this story had her own private pain, didn't she? Because they were married to the same man. Penaniah responded to her pain foolishly, but Hannah responded wisely. You know, when our cup is jostled, what spills out reveals what's inside. And both of these ladies had their cups jostled in a big way. And now in this story, we're seeing what's really on the inside of their lives. When Hannah was jostled, she poured out her requests to the Lord. Secondly, the second thing I found is that Hannah believed God would do what he said he would do. Look at verses 17 through 20. Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel, grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, went back to their home at Ramah. You know, the tabernacle was not the safest place to worship God in those days. It was not the safest place to be. Hophni and Phinehas were evil men. They were followers of the devil, and they were serving as priests. Can you imagine? Serving, acting as if they were serving the true God of Israel, and the whole time they're serving the evil one. They were hypocrites. They were abusers of the system. They were unbelieving priests. That was one thing they had to watch out for. Another thing they had to watch out for was this guy named Eli, who was the high priest. But he had very little discernment. He thought that Hannah was drunk when she was praying. He couldn't tell the difference between someone who was drunk and someone who was praying. You know, maybe that was because a lot of people were coming to the tabernacle in those days intoxicated. But Eli was doing more evil things than that. He was sharing in his son's sins by not correcting his sons. What they were doing was open. They were carousing in the temple. They were stealing from people. In spite of all that, Hannah had determined in her heart to pray for a son. And the future of the nation rested upon that godly woman's prayers. What Eli said to her was prophetic. In verse 17, he said, "You will be granted what you have asked of him." It would happen. Hannah understood, and her face was no longer downcast. A remarkable woman would give birth to a remarkable son. Samuel heard of God, or asked of God. Let me ask Cindy this week, was there anything that really stood out in her mind of a time when we really, like Hannah, we're really going all out, is praying, and, you know, really all out praying for something that was very important to us. And the thing that came to Cindy's mind was when our oldest son, David, went on Operation Barnabas International to Brazil in 2001. You know, each day for 4 weeks, we prayed for the 25 teenagers who went on that trip to Brazil. And it was really a good thing that a lot of people prayed for them. You know, they went to this place in Brazil called Manaus, and they got off the plane, and David said, "It was so hot, Dad, that you could actually feel the moisture inside your lungs. It was that humid and that hot. It was right there." And they got off the plane, they found out that their bags didn't come with them. So for 4 days, these guys and these gals, teenagers, were stranded without a change of clothes. Can you imagine? And they slept in hammocks on Monkey Island on the Amazon River. And there were these big poisonous spiders that were all over the top of the ceiling looking down at them every night. God used them in a great way. There were a lot of people that came to know Christ as a result of the activities that Operation Barnabas did in Brazil that year. And he also built the relationships between the members of that team, the members of that group, so they got along well together. And that would serve David well when he went to Grace, because several of those guys were on his dorm, in his dorm at Beta, there at Grace College. But the most lasting thing is that David met his wife, Mandy, on that trip. And the fruit of that has been 4 grandchildren, 4 godly kids, because Cindy, mainly Cindy, believed God, that God would do what he said he would do. I believed him too. But Cindy really, really prayed for that time. Hannah believed God would do what he would do. And the final thing is that Hannah praised God for the way that he worked. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, part that David read for us. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, and I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." She had prayed for this child. And now the Lord had given her what she had asked of him. And she had turned around and dedicated this child to the Lord, given him, put him in this place that really was not very safe, was it? Eli was there. You know, Hophni, Phinehas were there. It wasn't a very safe place to dedicate your child to serve in. But she made that choice. She trusted God. You know, she could have probably just gone off at that point and just cried. Couldn't she have? She probably could have. Instead, she bursts out into a psalm of praise. She praises God, Yahweh. And here in this passage, you find for the first time in the NIV, it says, "The Lord Almighty." In the NASV, it says, "The Lord of Hosts." That's the first time that occurs, that name for God occurs in the Bible. It's a special dependence description of God as the Lord of all the heavenly armies that he has underneath his control. And that's who she's praising, this God. She praises him for his strength, for his holiness, for his knowledge, for his discernment and his actions he takes with believers and unbelievers. And we see this prayer, this psalm repeated by David in 2 Samuel 22, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 52. She'll quote part of this. The very messianic psalm that refers us to Yeshua, salvation. And we know that Yeshua today is Jesus. That's where salvation comes from. She delighted in her deliverance. You know, sometimes the path to joy leads us through the valley of suffering, doesn't it? The path to joy leads us through the valley of suffering. Without all this pain, Hannah would not have experienced the joy that she had at the end of this chapter, chapter 2. I read a story this week about a lady named Margaret Holder, and she was a missionary kid. Her parents served the Lord in China, and when the Japanese came and invaded China in 1938 and 39, she was captured, and she was separated from her parents. There were about 300 missionary kids that were separate from the parents, and they were put in this prison camp. And it was horrible. You know, not seeing your parents for 6 years, not having anything to eat. A lot of people died in that prison camp. Japanese were not good guards for the people who were POWs. Towards the end of the war, some planes came with the star of our country on it. United States planes came and dropped barrels of food and supplies to the people who were in that prison camp. There were 1,500 in there. And Margaret said they were like care packages from the sky. You know, care packages are things that usually churches send to missionaries. But these were care packages from the sky. And our Secret Service figured out that the Japanese planned to execute all the people in these camps at the end of the war. So the next week, that bomber came back, only this time it was flying very low. And some other barrels were thrown out of the side of that plane. But as the kids watched those barrels, they were surprised because those barrels had legs on them. They were paratroopers that were dropped into that camp, and they liberated those kids from the Japanese that were guarding them. And it was 45 years after the liberation that Margaret was interviewed about what happened in that camp. And you could see the joy in her eyes still. She just couldn't get over the fact that somehow we were saved. We were all in a terrible situation. We had nothing to eat. We didn't think we'd ever get out of there. And these guys came and saved us. And she actually traveled in the 1990s across the United States to each one of those guys. She found them, and she thanked each one of them for coming in there. And, you know, from that time, all those people have died. That was 75 years ago, at least, by now. And we know that those who love Jesus are now with him. Imagine the joy, their joy of being united again with their parents and some of the rescuers, some of those guys who came out of the sky to save them. But this time, their time of reunion will never end because they're in heaven. They will live forever with Jesus, the source of all joy. They praise God. This lady, Margaret Holder, praised God for the rest of her life that God chose to save them from that prison camp. And Hannah praised God for giving her this little boy and delivering her from all the bad things that had happened to her. She was delighted in her deliverance, that God answered her prayer. And God used her son in a great way to be the prophet that God would use to call kings. He would call Saul. He would try to get Saul to do the right things. Saul did for a while. But eventually, he would call another king. God would give him the job to call another king named David. And David was a faithful king. So three ways Hannah's faith can strengthen our faith today. Hannah poured out her request to the Lord. It should affect our prayer life. We should really do business with God when we pray. Secondly, Hannah believed God would do what he said he would do. We have to trust God when we pray. We have to really believe that God's going to do this. And thirdly, we have to praise God for the work that he does. How about you? Are you pouring out your requests to the Lord? Prayer changes things. It's one of the most magnificent things that God, gifts that God has given to us, the ability to pray and to be involved in all the things that are going to happen in the world around us. That's what we're involved in here. Prayer changes things. So we should be praying out a request to God all the time. Secondly, are you believing that he will do what he says? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's not going to answer our prayers if we don't believe that he's big enough to take care of this stuff for us. He will. And are you praising God when he does answer? He gets the glory, doesn't he? Not us. He gets the glory for all the things that he does. Well, let's pray together today as we close. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the moms that are here. And we're celebrating Mother's Day with them. all the things that you've done in their lives, like you did in Hannah's life. Lord, thanks for the ladies, especially, who have received Jesus as their Savior, because we know that you can use them in an even greater way in the lives of their kids and the lives of those around them because of Jesus. Jesus has changed her. Lord, we just pray that you will bless us and use us as we worship you one last time today. Amen.